Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Turning Point podcast series. Today we're speaking with Amy Ausiker, who is the executive director of Envision Charlotte, about some of the key energy saving and smart city efforts that her organization is bringing to life in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Amy, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much for joining us. It's really a pleasure to have you. I know we've covered your organization before, and you're certainly doing some really amazing things in Charlotte. And why don't we just kick it off with you telling us a little bit more about Envision Charlotte and its mission?
Great. Thank you. And thank you for having me on the show today. Envision Charlotte was actually started in 2010, and it was initiated by Center City Partners, our Uptown Association, and Duke Energy. They were looking for a sustainability initiative that focused on our Uptown Charlotte. So they decided that it would be great to reduce energy in our Uptown by 20%. So they actually pitched it to Bill Clinton, and he said, yes, let's make it a CGI, a Clinton Global Initiative. So they flew up to New York, made the big announcement, and then came home and said, okay, now we actually have to figure out how to do this. So they decided to call many other organizations all over the country and get feedback. And those different cities said, you know, make sure that you have a narrow focus on what you want to do and clearly defined scope, because you can't be all things to all people, of course. So they decided to focus on the large commercial buildings uptown. There are 64 buildings that are 10,000 square feet and larger, and so they went after all 64 to sign an energy pledge to reduce their energy use by 20%. 61 of those buildings signed that pledge, which is absolutely remarkable. From there, they installed energy meters within all of those buildings to gather the real-time energy use, so we aggregate that information so that we could set a baseline and then measure our progress against it. We then put in kiosks, these large kiosks, in all of the buildings. I think they're actually still in 54 of the buildings. A few buildings have changed hands, renovated lobbies, that sort of thing. But they really believe that if they showed people what they were doing and contributing to, they would be more likely to change their behavior. So they started working on energy in those 61 buildings. And Duke Energy started a program called Smart Energy Now, which was a behavior-based program to teach people basically to turn off lights, to unplug your chargers, because, you know, those take powers when your phone isn't being charged. And so they implemented those programs. In the meantime, we also added three other pillars. We added water, air, and waste. And our whole concept was let's get in real-time data so that we can see what set that baseline. And then when we do programs, we can actually see if they're working, because you can't measure what you can't, or you can't manage what you can't measure. So that's kind of a little overview of Envision Charlotte.
That's great. You know, and that's definitely the angle that we thought was really interesting, was the fact that you installed these interactive kiosks. It was all completely measurable, and it all points back that citizen behavior can change, especially if they see the outcome, or if they're kind of shown the way through what you guys are doing. You know, you kind of covered off on my second question, but I think I'll perhaps go off the script a little bit here. Do you imagine that this model that you've created here is something that can be recreated in virtually any city in America, or even perhaps the world? Is that kind of your vision there?
That is absolutely our vision. And, you know, actually, let me go a little bit further with the energy use, for example. The program that was implemented with Duke, the behavior program, because we kind of feel like in all four of those pillars, if you start with behavior, it's free. You know, it doesn't cost you anything to turn off the lights. So for businesses to engage in this kind of behavior, it ultimately will save them money, but it is free for them to implement. So they started that Smart Energy Now. They engaged with Bull in the building. They showed the results on the kiosk, but they played silly games like Crab It, You're It. Crabs tend to go to the light. So if you leave your light on, you got crabbed, and someone would put a crab on your desk. And so, you know, there were crabs all over the city trying to get people to change their behavior. And, you know, they find after 10 to 21 days it becomes a behavior. So you play those games for a few weeks, and then people start turning off the lights. What was amazing was last year we announced the first set of results. 6.2% savings in energy use was attributed to behavior. We had an overall savings of 8.4% because some people implemented, you know, new lighting or new HVAC systems, that sort of thing. But that equals $10 million in savings to these businesses uptown. I mean, that makes sense. You can argue to businesses why they should do it when it goes directly to their bottom line. And so I think that I think this is definitely a model that we could take beyond Charlotte, around the world, like you said. But Duke Energy actually commercialized that smart energy now and is taking it to other communities. So that's one example of a program that we've been able to pilot in Charlotte and that is being taken out to other cities. And we hope to do that with all of the programs that we implement in Envision.
That's amazing. That is really cool stuff. So what we really like about this story here is that it ties in perfectly into the concept of a smart city, which certainly seems to be the way that cities are going or will be going. And it seems like your efforts are the first step or a model for cities, again, across the nation, perhaps even the world, to move into that smart city mindset. Is that a part of your vision too, embracing the concept of a smart city? And tell us about that.
It absolutely is. And it's kind of funny because it wasn't a planned approach that we were going to become a smart city. When I came on board about a year and a half, about 6 months into it, everyone would call me and talk about a smart city. And I realized after you do some research on smart cities that we were doing smart city initiatives. We just weren't calling it that. You know, a smart city gathers data and uses that data to make informed decisions that create efficiencies and sustainabilities for cities and engage their citizens. And we were doing all of that. So we've actually sort of tweaked our message that we really are truly a smart city initiative. And we get accolades literally from all over the world. We were a finalist in the Barcelona World Smart Cities Conference back in November as one of the innovative initiatives in the world. And so I think that what we've started doing is in all of the organizations that we work with, I like to call it a public-private plus partnership because we have the utilities, we have public, we have private, we have the universities. We have everyone engaged in this, and now everyone's talking about, wow, we're really a smart city, and what other things and what other technologies can we start using that we can start gathering more data and then perhaps start looking at the nexus between water and energy and, you know, where can we find more efficiencies there? And so our scope is actually broadened a great deal to start looking at other technologies that really would lay the foundation for a truly smart city. So it's exciting to have not known that we were one of the frontiers of this movement and we're getting all the accolades for it.
That's outstanding. And that segues perfectly into my next question. Tell us a little bit more about some of the future initiatives. I know you kind of hinted towards that. We're going global here. We're certainly embracing smart cities, realizing that you all are a smart city effort. Tell us about other future things that you all have on the horizon.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we don't have hours, do we? No, I'm just kidding. Some of the initiatives we're working on is the water pillar. So we have just finished installing the same type of equipment we did on the energy side on the water side. So they're shadow meters to start gathering that real-time energy use so that we can set that baseline and then implement programs to affect our water usage. But then we can also look at that nexus between water and energy. So that's one of our initiatives. This is one of my favorite ones. There is a company we're partnering with called Enevo. They're out of Europe. And they have sensors that you can put on trash receptacles. And you can start measuring your real-time waste data, which is really unheard of in the United States. We don't do – there's segments, but we really don't do that. And this company has partnered with us and said that they'll sensor up all 61 of our buildings, which is – amazing. So we'll be able to gather that real-time waste data and know how much waste we are producing and then also put it in the recycling receptacle so we can see how much we're moving out of the receptacles going to the landfill and how much is moving over to the recycling bin. And so you can then also take that data, again, it's building the smart city, bring that data in, and you can start then looking at water, waste, and energy and the nexus, and are there trends and what you can see there. That's extremely exciting. One of the other ones we're talking about, and you know, people tease me about this, are street poles. Street mall poles have become extremely smart. So inside, you can put inside a street pole, small cell technology, which allows your cell phones to be used better, give you better coverage in uptown. You can put Wi-Fi. You can put remitters that read the meters of gas, electricity, and water within these light poles. You can put homeland security measures in there where they can, this is a little big brother, but they can hear keywords if you're talking about bombs and it can pick up on that. You can put lights that tell people in a disaster which way to go. Obviously, you can switch them out to the LED. You can put an LCD display so that you're not changing out the banners in a city every time you have a festival. So we are actually looking at, could we switch out all of Uptown to smart poles? And what you can also engage other sensors like parking sensors. As far as your imagination can take you, you can put in these smart poles. So I'm very excited because we're working with Duke Energy and the city to start this conversation about what do smart poles look like and could we engage with some companies and switch out all of our poles uptown. So that's one of my pet projects that I am pushing hard forward because I think it could truly transform our uptown.
That is amazing. So much. Yeah.
I mean, I could keep
Amy, yeah, that's amazing. So much cool stuff. Really exciting. This has been an outstanding podcast and actually very inspiring because, you know, I think you're opening our eyes to really, I mean, it's a wide open world there in terms of what can be done in terms of utilizing technology and data for enhancing a city. Before we sign off, Amy, anything else to add? I know we could certainly talk for hours, and by all means, we would love to have you back on again to discuss more stuff in the near future, too.
Well, the only thing I would add is that the Smart Cities Council, which is actually an organization that brings in all the businesses that have smart city divisions like IBM or Microsoft, they are actually hosting a conference here on the 23rd. And on the 24th, we're going to dovetail that with a smart city lunch. So if people want to hear more about what we're doing, we have the mayor speaking. We have Lloyd Yates from Duke Energy. We have Jesse Burst, who's the chairman of the Smart City Council. And we have Philip Meese. He's the CEO of Itron, which does sensing technology, all speaking. So if people want to get more informed, they can go to our website and sign up to go to that lunch on the 24th.
That sounds awesome. It sounds like a great event and a perfect way to end this interview. And for all of our listeners out there, you just heard a Turning Point podcast interview with Amy Alsiker, who is the executive director of Envision Charlotte. And as you heard, this was a truly inspiring interview for us. Amy shared her insights on some key energy-saving efforts that they have brought to life in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then also to the vision of bringing smart cities to life, not only in Charlotte, but also throughout the world. And Amy, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Sure thing. Take care.
Bye-bye.